President Bush is trying to give new momentum to his controversial proposal for oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Region. The House has given its permission. The Senate has not acted. Supporters and opponents are raising powerful images to win public support. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports.
They gathered on the lawn of the Capitol, veterans of the Korean War, Vietnam, an 86-year-old survivor of Pearl Harbor, all still standing proud with straight backs and decorated veterans' caps. One by one, they offered letters of support for a new energy plan that includes drilling in Alaska's wildlife refuge. The message was clear. Patriotic Americans support drilling here at home.
Our nation's 25 million veterans know that the difference between victory and defeat in combat depends on a ready and flowing supply of fuel.
Off to the side, decades younger, was a man with a scraggly beard and bell-bottom corduroys, one of two environmentalists waiting for a turn to speak. Adam Colton of the Alaska Wilderness League has a competing image. He wants to replace the image of patriotic veterans with an image of a wilderness plundered.
The question is, do we want to destroy the places that Americans cherish, Yellowstone, Yosemite, the Grand Canyon, the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, for a short-term speculative supply of oil that will be gone in one generation, but the damage would last for thousands of years?
So goes the debate that's forsaken facts for symbols. It's veterans versus beautiful wilderness, or national security versus conservation. The images come easy, but finding the facts is hard. Each side conveniently chooses the information that best suits its point of view. For instance, supporters of drilling speak as if Alaskan oil would immediately replace foreign oil. But just last month, an ExxonMobil executive testified before Congress that it would take 7 to 10 years to get oil from the wildlife refuge flowing. Senator Frank Murkowski of Alaska, a chief proponent of drilling, simply ignores this.
I don't know where you got the 7 to 10 years. You know, we built the Empire State Building in about 18 months, built the Pentagon a year and a half.
Murkowski argues, given this American ingenuity, the same could be true for oil in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge.
We're only about 50 miles from an existing pipeline, and the estimates, if the permitting were expedited, you could have oil flowing there somewhere between 18 months and 2 years.
Even if it were possible to tap the oil in 2 years, it still would not end U.S. dependence on foreign oil.
Proponents of drilling have repeated their arguments so often, unfortunately, I think some people figure they must be true.
Dan Lashoff is an attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council. He says no one knows how much oil lies beneath the grounds of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Federal geologists surveyed the area in the 1980s and made some crude estimates. At best, there's only enough oil to replace the supply from Iraq, not the whole Middle East, for about 30 years. And even this calculation is misleading.
That's really not a relevant figure. What's relevant is how much oil you can extract at a price that is competitive on the international market.
Lashoff says the number is probably much lower. But, of course, the reason environmentalists are trying so hard to undercut the arguments for drilling is because they have an agenda, too. They're interested in the long-term protection of the land and wildlife at any cost. They argue drilling will harm the native caribou and polar bears and have some data to support this claim. But they've dismissed a recent report published in the Wildlife Society Bulletin. This concludes that caribou have thrived in Prudhoe Bay, another area of Alaska, where drilling's been underway since the 1980s. The herd that moves through this area has actually grown from 5,000 to more than 20,000 caribou since drilling began. Matt Cronin, a biologist at the University of Alaska, is the author of this report. He's fully aware that proponents of drilling like to cite his work, but he stresses his conclusions, like most science, are not black and white. Rather, they're a combination of facts and judgments.
So if you were to ask whether or not the oil fields caused an increase or decrease in the caribou population, you wouldn't know that for sure. You could try to accumulate a lot of evidence that can help you decide if the hypothesis is supported or not. But in a system as complex as this, you're not going to get a definite yes or no answer.
Which is why several versions of the truth can prosper, and why, in the end, it comes down to choosing an image. Are you for the Patriots or the polar bears? Allison Aubrey, NPR News, Washington.